saved the Lord will be unto her. Thou be the glory in the midst of her. The Lord is our protector. We are called by the Father to follow his lead. We are called to be the head of the household and be two men in our homes for our entire family. Teach the family how to work back through Father. So your children don't have to look to the world for advice. They know they have a true Father. Any hurdle you face in life, know that the Lord will take you over. We are soldiers for Jehovah. This faith is a fight. It is not a game. Your life is on play and you can't press for sex. We pray and strive to follow his spiritual code of conduct. Line after line, precept after precept. His word gives us marching orders for life. We are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, nor are we embarrassed. We are ambassadors for Christ. In the army of the Lord, God's army, we are part of his salvation army. He's the vine and we are the branches. We are God's property. We are against the ways of the world. We rebel. God gave us power on earth to bind the devil. We are the body of Christ, and we stand strong as brethren. It is written, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Like Joshua, God has given you the city. All you have to do is take it for G-O-D. This battle cannot be won by weapons made by man. In us dwells the presence of God. In the Old Testament, his presence was within the Ark of the Covenant. We are children of promise that carry the word as a sword. The word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, in which we are carriers of the Ark of the Lord. Shout unto the Lord. He hears your heart's cry. Give him your all. Let him hear your battle cry. Be the Messiah's mighty man. We are spiritual armed men. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Just know that we are victorious by his blood. The enemy is roaring around like a lion, but he can't defeat us. Because the real lion is our king. The lion of the tribe of Judah is our Jesus.
Hallelujah.
He is the greatest friend that you earnestly need. Every day when you pray and get closer to the Lord, there is power in prayer. As you get on your knees, you are weakening the camp of the enemy and become God's mighty men of valor and live by his righteous standards. Through the power of his spirit and prayer, God is able to destroy the work of the enemy single-handed, the mighty men of valor.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Good evening, everybody. You have joined, hallelujah, the men's fellowship of the Potter's House, Renewing Your Mind Ministries International. Our motto is we are co-workers in the kingdom of God. And we thank God for an illustrious group of men on the phone tonight. We have Pastor Theodis Lee. Are you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am.
God bless you, sir. And Minister Jerry Cleveland, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel the anointing already. Glory to God. You know, we embarked upon a journey on Sunday. The message for Sunday, help a brother out. And what we were talking about is that the male of the species has been put down, especially men of color. The strategy was to beat them down, to keep them under oppression because they were a threat. And here's the key to why we say help a brother out. Every man needs prayer behind them. There was a saying in the world that behind every good man, there's a good woman telling him no. Well, ideal thing. Behind every good man is a woman praying for him. Is somebody else praying for him. Helping a brother out starts with prayer. Pray for the men. Pray for men who are fathers to stand up and be fathers, to be husbands, to be the leader in the home, to lead in righteousness, to lead in caring and in loving. That's what we want to do, you know, because it's important to be a godly man. And you can't be a godly man without knowing God. Hallelujah. And one of the things that has kind of troubled men throughout the years is their inability to say, I hurt, or to say, I need someone to pray for me. Because the world looks at men and they say, well, he's a man, if he can run through walls and leap over troops and benches. But the true test of a man is the willingness to, number one, accept Christ as his life, to be able to say, God, I need you. One of the things, in fact, one of the brothers, if you can go to John chapter 5, verse 6. Don't read it, just say amen when you get there. Amen. One of the things that men are reluctant to say is that I want to be healed. Because they feel like I'm a man. I ought to be able to do this and do that and do that. But we need to come say truth to ourselves. I have some shortcomings, and I want to be healed. I've got things attacking me, but I want to be healed. I haven't heard amen yet. Has anybody gotten this scripture?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
All right. If somebody read that scripture for me. That was John chapter 5, verse 6.
All right. It reads as follows. Verse 6 says, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that that he had already been in the condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? To the man.
Hallelujah. And that's what he's asking today. See, God is, God's a gentleman. God is not a bully. It's the other guy that's the bully.
That's right.
In Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. In fact, someone go to that for me. Revelation 3:20.
Okay. Revelation 3:20. Okay.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me.
God will come into your situation, man. Man, you got to come out of this macho thinking that if I say I need God. If I say I need help, I'm less than a man. That's not true. It takes courage to say that. And see, in Christ is knocking at your door in 2024. He wants to take you to a higher level. But the question he wants to ask is, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be whole? Do you want to be a godly man? and he's waiting for you to answer. He won't force himself on you, y'all. Man, young boy, the sooner you accept God in your life, the sooner you begin to be a godly man. A godly man. Either a king or a king in training for the young boys. Because he decided that you should be the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. He wants you to be a king. Now, I've shared what I've shared. And if anyone have any comments on what I have said, go right ahead.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Dr. Bird, as always, the word that you share is always a blessing to every listener, including myself, to this broadcast. The word is good. It's rich. I was thinking as you were sharing the word that it's one thing we're born males. We're talking to the men, male species, but we have to have someone. It should be someone there that God's already ordained, in most cases usually a father, to teach that son how to become a man. Because
yes,
we have a lot of males walking around in men's bodies, and they think they're their man, but they don't know what a man really is. Because if they did, then we wouldn't have a lot of the males in institutions all over the world. Instead, they would be out, amen, teaching their children, teaching their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren what a man really is. And a man doesn't live his life, amen, to abuse his body. So I have to use another word. But to use his body, amen, to destroy it. When God made the man, amen, God taught the father. He gave the fathers the responsibility an immature male would do for whatever reason. We know there are different reasons, but that was just a point of reference I wanted to share. And if anyone else want to, come back in, please feel free to do so.
Thank you so much. We have a little problem with in hearing you there. Thank you so much.
I'm sorry. I was a little far back from the mic. I'm sorry.
You're breaking up, and we this good seed you're sowing, we want to make sure we got it. Let me go to Minister Jerry, see if his connection is a little bit there. Minister Jerry, you still there?
Yes, sir. And I'm taking a look at John 14:6. Let me see if that's right. Yeah, 14:6. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. Let me take the verse before that. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether where you go, and how can we know the way? And Jesus answers him by saying, Jesus saith to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So in this society, in this world, we have lots of people pulling on the men as well as the women, but pulling on people who are trying to find their way. And Jesus clearly tells us that I am the way. There is no other way. I'm standing at the door and knocking, and if anybody opens the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. There is a two-way connection here. I with him, and he with me. You with me, I with you. I don't want to say every man for himself, but it's every man connecting to the way. And Jesus is telling us, I am the way. There are lots of other religious belief systems, that are saying, no, well, there are lots of ways. There are lots of different connections. There are lots of different ways. And mixed in that might be some truth, but the truth says there is one way, and that is the man Jesus Christ. So when the man Jesus Christ says, I am the way, you better believe that there is no other way except by him. And when he says, I am the way, don't start looking for a different way that suits your fancy or suits whatever you think you want or whatever way you want to go or whatever thoughts you want to think. Because when you accept him as the way, then you accept his whole philosophy. You accept his whole being. You accept everything he says as the truth, because he is the way. And because he is the way, there is no other way.
Hallelujah.
You have to accept that. There is no other way.
Yeah, there's another scripture that says, if you come any other way, you're a thief and a robber.
You're a thief and a robber.
But I thank God for that. That is so true. And the key is, he says, I'm the way. Now he says, I'm going to ask you a question.
Yes.
And he asks. He does not force you to, you got to accept it for yourself. Your father can cover you to a certain extent, but you have to say, Lord, come into my life. Yes, I want to be healed of the sin in my life. I want to be healed of the sickness, anything that attacks me and my relationship with God. I want to be healed, Lord. Come in. Lord, I hear you knocking, Lord.
Yeah.
He's asking that you open the door in 2024. And Revelation 3:20 says he will come in. And he'll sit down and eat with you. And he's the type that he's going to bring some blessings along with him. So you can eat with him. He's going to bring you some blessings you can have.
Yeah. Yes, Lord.
Pastor Theodis, you want to comment on this and see if your phone's any better now? Are you resting?
Can you hear me now?
Oh, it's still breaking up.
It's still breaking up. How?
Yeah.
Okay. We're having some none of your end on technical difficulties.
Okay.
And I do apologize for that.
Let me ask you, do you have your phone on speakerphone?
If I don't, and you can't hear it. Yes.
Just take it off the phone and talking directly into the phone, see if that'll help. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
It's breaking up a little bit, but we can hear you a little bit better.
Hear me a little bit better?
Okay. Just a little bit better.
Just a little bit. We're trying our best to get it nice and clear. We're sorry about the interference here. Very bad. I'll speak as loud as I can, and hopefully with the anointing, amen, that it'll be carried on through on the airways. What I was going to interject is that one of the things that I just feel when I look around and we walk out the door, and I know you brothers, Brother Jerry, yourself, Doctor, and I know that we see men walking around all the time, and some of them actually, you know, it's unfortunately because they're in a lot of the homes today. There are no really they're males again, but they're not really a man. And all over when you see, you know, the lifestyle that they're living before their wives and children, it's a poor example of a husband. And one of the things that the Lord has placed in my heart, my spirit, as I'm listening to the word of God that you and Brother Jerry is sharing tonight, is that I just feel that with your permission, it would be good to pray for these men, because it's one thing to see a need. Jesus walked all over the earth. When he walked this earth, amen, he had a mission. And that mission was not just to touch males, amen. His mission was to get them saved, get them to see the sin that they're in at the time. Although they thought they were men, but when Jesus got through talking to them, they realized, Lord, what must I do? Many times in the Bible, they would say, when Jesus got through telling what a man was versus a male, Jesus, many times they'll say, Lord, tell me what must I do to be saved. All through the scripture, tell me what, Lord, what must I do? You know, many times the Bible said they would humble themselves because they realized that they were just a male in a man's body. And so I believe that one of the things that the Lord would want us to do is, before your broadcast is over, with your permission, of course, is to, Dr. Bird, you and Brother Jerry would be good example to do that, is to lift up prayers for them. Amen. Because Jesus said, amen, if you pray and believe whatever the need is, and it's according to the word of God, then you have the authority to pray for that man, pray for that male that's in that man's body. Amen. And God said, if you pray and believe, you shall receive. And I believe tonight that God has placed on your heart Dr. Bird and Brother Jerry. Amen. You all are men of the word. Ever since I've been knowing both of you, you're people of the word. You live your life. Amen. You're a great example. We know your families. Amen. And we can testify, amen, that you're people of God. You're men of God. And you love God. And so as you, if you're in agreement with that, I believe that as you all pray, I believe before this broadcast is over, amen, testimonies will eventually come in. It could start as soon as this broadcast, even before it empties, because there are people listening to this broadcast. And I believe there are their husbands, their sons, their children, their teenagers. And I believe that God has ordained them, just like he has on your broadcast, to look at, to listen to these broadcasts at different times, different messages. And tonight is no different. I believe that they're young men and young women. This goes for ladies too, but your focus is on the male. And I believe that they're listening to it. And also I believe that there's dads out there, big brothers, amen. And they're listening. Glory to God. And they know that they need to come in out of the rain because it's affecting the life of their children, their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren. Word, I'm going to say this and turn this back over to Dr. Bird and Dr. Jerry. Words paint pictures. Whatever you hear is what you see. And whatever you see, God shows us as it pertains to God's word, and even in the world. Amen. You'll see the sin, or either you'll see, amen, the positivity. You'll see the reality, amen, of what God is saying to us and ministering to us. And so as we receive the word of God, amen, and as Jesus did when he got through ministering to the people, many times, I'm just reiterating, many times they would say, tell me, what must I do? Because they had a father in the household, but they had a male in the household, but they didn't have a Christian godly father. Thank you so much. Dr. Bird, Dr. Jerry.
I know that what you shared was right from the throne and heart of God, because the phone cleared up, didn't it, Minister Jerry?
Amen. Yes, it
cleared up miraculously. But before we go off, we're going to pray for the men. But what we did Sunday, and we went on a three-day fast. Either normal fast or partial fast or absolute fast. We left it up to the individual for the male of the species. And one other thing I want to share is that we have to stop calling each other names that do not build up or lift up. Because that's important for us to understand as well. Because you can have what you say.
Yes.
And you speak your stuff into existence because those are seeds that are planted.
Yes.
What you say, what you do, and what you think, the seeds of the planet. And sometimes we plant the bad seed. And so there's a scripture, Ephesians 4:20 talks about, in fact, if somebody can get to that scripture, and then we're going to go into prayer. I'll have a last word from Minister Jerry, and then we're going to have Pastor Theodis to lead us in prayer, and we'll go off the air praying for the male of the species, for our godly men to stand up. But the scripture I need someone to read for me is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. When you get there, say amen, somebody. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:29. And this is incumbent upon all of us, whether male or female. If there's some women that are listening, that's okay too. But especially the men, we got to know what to say out of our mouths.
Okay. You said Ephesians 4:29?
That's correct.
Okay. It says Ephesians 4 and 29, it says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it might impart grace to the hearers. And then it goes on to say, to the hearers, and yes, that's, necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Okay, I thought maybe I had missed a verse, but that's it. You said 29.
Important for us to make sure that we don't damage ourselves or others, man, because folk are paying attention to what we say and do.
Yes.
As Pastor Theodore said, that the words paint pictures. So we can't put another brother down and think that we're going to be up.
That's right.
We're pulling ourselves down too, because that's our brother. Am I, Cain asked God, was he his brother's keeper? Jesus answered back and said, yes.
Amen.
Through the pages of history, he said, yes, we are. So we make sure that we don't have any bad stuff coming out of our mouths about the brethren. Don't talk about the preachers and this one and that one. You got to build folk up. Because how
right.
Know the way unless you show them the way? If they're in error, show them the way.
Yes.
You know how you show them the way? You show them Christ. Because he said, I am the way, the truth,
yes.
And the life. Hallelujah. Any last words, Minister Jerry, before we have Pastor Theodis go into prayer?
Well, you know what? The last verse that he used, let no corrupt words come out of our mouth. That corrupt word piece, I think, it says to us, don't let anything that is not like the word of God, that is not like the word that I'm giving you, or the word that is, don't let it come out of your mouth in such a fashion that it has been fashioned, or it has been turned around, or it has been that you're misspeaking it, and that you're misspeaking to the situation. In other words, be learned about how you're using the word, and be learned about if you're using it in the correct context and content. Yes, so don't just be haphazard with the word. Don't let it be corrupted. Don't let it be misused or mishandled, but know how to use it like a two-edged sword. Know how to use it and when to use it. And not allow it to come forth in a corrupt manner.
Amen.
So when the word don't allow the word to come and be spoken just any kind of way. So we have to know the word, in order for us to use it the way that it's supposed to be used. When I say use it, I mean it used. I'm talking about like a weapon, like a two-edged sword, that it will come out and do what it was intended to do, and to cut a marrow, to cut deeply, and so that things can heal correctly, and things can work in the manner that they're supposed to, to work.
Amen.
I, for one, that just coming out of an operation, went to the doctor today and learned that in this hip operation, that there were nerves that were cut, and that there were muscles that I had never considered that. I just thought they just went in and slammed in that joint and sewed it back up. But there were, and I was saying, well, why is it taking so long? Why is my leg over here on this side still numb after a week or after 2 weeks or whatever it is? Because there was a lot of cutting that had to be done in order to, and then to have things put back so that they could heal properly. And it cost me something. I'm not talking about financial, but it cost me some discomfort. And it cost me some stuff that I had no clue and was not. If I had known, I don't think I'd have been prepared for it. But the word is quick. The word is quick, and it's sharp.
Hallelujah.
Sharper than a two-edged sword. So,
amen.
Yeah. So let's. Are we ready to pray, brothers?
Right now, I need to share this. In the King James Version, it says corrupt communication.
Yes.
It's not just the word of God. I want you to understand it. It's talking to folk. You got to watch out what you say out your mouth.
Yes.
You got to watch what you say out your mouth.
Yes.
You got to watch what you say to your young men.
Yes.
You want to have something that's uplifting and encouraging and helpful.
Right.
Not something that's going to put your child down, that's going to put somebody else down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to speak life, not death.
Speak life.
Hope, not fear and doubt and disbelief. You got to speak the words of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can tell the children, yes, you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. If you turn yourself over to God, he'll make you the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. You've got to speak words of life to one another.
Yes.
Because what you say will come back to you.
Yes.
It will come back to you, pressed down, shaken together, heaped up and running over. It's going to come back to you.
Yes.
Be careful of what you say out your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Jesus asks you, do you want to be healed? Yes, I want to be healed. I mean, because I'm sin sick. I want to be healed. I want to be saved. Hallelujah. You physical? Yes, I want to be healed. Yes, I want to be delivered. You got your back against the wall. Yes, I want to be. He's asking. He's at the door knocking. He's not going to force deliverance on you. He's not going to force salvation on you. He's not going to force his blessings on you. But he's going to tell you, if you want it, just let me know.
Yes.
If you believe and are willing to receive, I'm going to give it to you because I promised you. Hallelujah. Pastor Phil.
Praise the Lord. Dr. Bird, I, with your permission, and I'll be extremely quick. The Lord just put something in my spirit real quick and to share and to leave with your audience. It's been an honor to serve with you on your panel, Jerry as well. And I truly have been blessed. And that is that as it pertains to words, how important words are. I worked at a company I don't work there now. Retired from there. And I would run into these people very often. I mean, I still do right now. And I have been totally shocked, literally shocked, at how many people that I ran into on the street. I'm out passing witnesses, witnessing to people about Jesus, and in different stores, at lights and stuff, different places, black, white, brown, red, and yellow. And I can't tell you how many times, this has been years ago, two, three, my wife probably could tell you exactly, but two or three years ago now, at least, if not four. And they would stop me all over the place. And they said, you know, you're Mr. Lee. And they would stop me. I said, well, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. And they said, you know one thing, one of the things I remembered about you. And I said, well, what's that? I didn't have no idea who they were. They said, the way that you talked to me, where we used to work at. They said the words that you speak, black, white, brown, red, and yellow. They said you always had a kind word for people. And they said, I didn't even know that. But you didn't even know I was listening. They said, but you always, I mean every single day when I worked at that company, they said you always had a kind words, either when they're coming in or when they're going out or either if they need a helping hand. You always had something positive to say. So I'm just saying that to say this, that words, again, paint pictures. And although we don't see these brothers walk in the street, I know the messages are more geared to the men, but also relates to the women. But you just never know, amen, who's listening to you, amen, whose life you can touch. Just by, I mean, some people, I just gave them a compliment. You look nice. You're not doing well. I just came in from running tonight, and man stopped me in the middle of the street and said, man, you just always so nice and got something to say to me. I don't know this person. So don't, as you leave this broadcast, with Dr. Bird and the Jerry, your listeners out there, let me tell you something. Your words are contagious. And amen, if you see something that's not right, amen, do something about it. You say, I don't know what to do. Yes, you can. Dr. Bird is telling you. Brother Jared's telling you. Amen. Sow words into people. I don't know these people. I don't know none of them to this day. And yet this has been going on for about two or three, 4 years now. And they still, even I need to ride one day. And they literally stopped. The man stopped and said, please let me take you where you need to go. He went out of his way because he remembered that I often always had something nice to say to him. My time is up. And I certainly thank you for yours. Thank you, Dr. Bird. Thank you, Brother Jared. Dr. Bird, back into your hands.
Take us out, Pastor Theodos. Lead us in prayer.
Father, we just thank you for this day that you've made, and we choose to rejoice and to be glad. We thank you for this wonderful, anointed, blessed man of God, woman of God, his wonderful family, blessed of the Lord, serving the Lord with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and reaping the harvest of souls, black, white, brown, red, and yellow, Father, the men and women of the Word. And we just thank you, Lord. Our hearts are just out and yearning, and Father God, seeing what can we do next. The next person we see, we just believe that they're saved. That we believe that when they come in touch with us, they're saved, they're healed, they're delivered, they're set free by the power of the living God. Because, Father, you coming back for us. But before you come, Satan is already here, amen, doing everything he can to turn them, especially the men, but it goes for the women too, amen, away from God. But God said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, stop making excuses. Amen. Why you can't say. Don't say, I can't say no more. I can't talk to that person. I don't know that person. No, that's not the right way. What if Jesus had thought that way? We wouldn't be doing this broadcast today. Amen. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven. God saying, I will hear your prayers, even tonight before you get on your knees, in your bed. Say a prayer for that brother you saw today, that man that cussing all the time, and that sister selling her body, whatever. Listen, you can do something about that. Stop making excuses. Do what you can and say, Father, what word should I say to this woman? Which, you know, you tell me, Lord, what prayer should I pray for him? Because if they're not serving God, amen, they're serving Satan, and they're on their way to hell. So don't complain if you're not doing anything about getting them saved and asking God to give you the right word at the right time for the right person.
Amen.
My time is up. Again, Dr. Bird, thank you. You have a good evening.
God bless you all. Thank you all. Hallelujah. Until next month, God bless you all. Mighty men of valor, kings in training.
We are part of his salvation army. He is the vine and we are the branches. We are God's property. We are against the ways of the world. We rebel. God gave us power on earth to bind the devil. We are the body. Stand strong and prosperous. It is written, whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth has been like Joshua. God has given you the
Jerry Cleveland.
All you have to do is take it for COD. This battle cannot be won by weapons made by man. In us dwells the presence of God. In the Old Testament, the presence was within the Ark of the Covenant. We are children of promise that carry the word as a sword, the word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword, in which we are carriers of the ark of the Lord. Shout out to the Lord. He hears your heart cry. Give him your all. Let him hear your battle cry. Be the Messiah's mighty man. We are spiritual armed men. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Just know that we are victorious by his blood. The enemy is roaring around like a lion, but he can't defeat us. Because the real lion is our king. The lion of the tribe of Judah is our Jesus. He's the greatest friend that you earnestly need. Every day when you pray and get closer to the Lord, there is power in prayer. As you get on your knees, you are weakening the camp of the enemy and become God's mighty men of valor and live by his righteous standards. Through the power of his spirit and prayer, God is able to destroy the enemy single-handed, the mighty men of valor.
Stay tuned for the Women's Fellowship starting at 7:50 p.m. God bless you.
humble and meek, and his love empowers me to see God.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I had one more minute. I wanted you to play it again.
You want me to play it again?
Yes, yes, it is beautiful. Yes, indeed.
And yes, it is.
Thank you, Jesus.
Living inside of me. Just
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Man.
You have good evening, everyone. You wonderful guests of honor out there. This is Women's Fellowship. Hallelujah. This is the second Friday of the month, and this is Renewing Your Mind Ministries International Women's Fellowship. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
I thank God for every opportunity.
Yes.
To gather around the Word of God. Hallelujah. It's a privilege and an honor. Are you there? Elder Kibi?
I'm here. Kibi's in the house.
Are you there, Pastor Maxine?
Pastor Maxine's in the house.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we just thank you, Lord God, for every opportunity that you give the women of God together in love and fellowship, Lord God, and to learn so much more of you. Father God, we'll never know all that is about you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God, because I can say you're mine, and they can say that you're theirs. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, we ask you, Lord God, to bless the word of God that's going to go out tonight. Bless all the hearers. Bless the women, Lord God, all over the world in the name of Jesus. Lord God, allow us to bless us too, so we can continue to be women of honor, vessels of honor, Lord God, being used by you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. This is such a blessing. God, oh my goodness. God can blow my mind. Hallelujah. Feeling like every day he just blesses me more and more and more. Thank
good,
you.
Bro.
Tonight,
amen.
We're going to talk about a vessel of honor.
Yeah.
And I always ask the Lord, okay, because I don't want to do something myself. I'm just nothing. I need God's help. Just like Elder Kibi say, I need God to tell me what color fingernail polish to put on. I need God to tell me. We don't want to appear to be independent of God in anything.
That's right. Amen.
In all thy ways acknowledge him.
Him.
And I want God to know that I don't want him to ever think, Lord, I got this. You can go sit down. I'm all right. No, not me. I ain't ego tripping nothing. No, indeed.
Man.
Life has a way of humbling you. And
yes,
no.
Yes, he does.
And today I was asking the Lord, go. What does a vessel of honor today look like? Because I'm gonna tell y'all something. Lately, I know one of my daughters in particular was telling me so much because she's visited so many churches. She was saying, "Ma, the stuff that I'm seeing in churches," and I know for a fact myself, things are not being taught over the pulpit like they were years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was heaven or hell years ago, y'all. It was either black or white. It was either, no, we don't do that. That's a sin. No, we don't do that. That's a sin. You know, but everything that they were saying that was a sin, it wasn't particularly in the scripture, but that was their understanding.
Yes.
That was understanding. And the and we were so strict.
Mm-hmm.
But it kept us saved.
Yes,
it kept
it
us a little crazy sometimes, but it kept us safe. It was a thin line. But it kept us saved. We were sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. When we walked the street, somebody could tell, oh, that lady saved.
Mm-hmm.
At least they could look at us and tell us, oh, you should go to church.
Call you Holy Moly.
Yeah. But today, sometimes you got to look twice. Sometimes wait a minute, what's going on there? You know, sometimes you got to scratch your head. And say, wow. And then when you go to churches, one of my older sisters said, she said it looked like a disco. It was a night. She said it looked like the people was coming to a nightclub.
Oh, my goodness.
What was going on, you could tell it was a lot of people that was coming to this event that was unchurched. So therefore, not certain etiquettes when it came to clothing, came to dressing. That's no excuse for the ones. That's no excuse for the ones that's been in church for years, y'all. It's okay to do certain things. It's okay to dress certain ways. It's okay to wear a outfit to church that shows your belly. It's okay to wear a dress so low that it looks like your boobs about to jump out. No. And today, I was asking the Lord, what does a vessel of honor today?
And he was different
things he was sharing with me. It wasn't so much as clothing, but our actions.
That's right.
He was telling me things that I won't see, or things that a vessel of honor is not going to do. And I'm like, you know, one of the scriptures he gave me was, okay, the different things, something that he gave me was, she's not a busybody in other people's business.
All right.
First Timothy 5:13. And, you know, some things, I think the first time I saw this scripture in the Bible, I was like, what? Because you know how somebody say, oh, why don't you mind your business?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it sounded sarcastic. But you know what?
It's in the scripture.
Some people don't think this is in the scripture or whatever, but it's like, no. That's what God wants you to do. He doesn't want you to going to one house to another, spreading gossip, spreading stuff. You taking a bone from one person's house to another person. That is not of God. God doesn't want you doing stuff like that. It's like what it says. And with all they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And so Proverbs, we know about the song, the Proverbs 31 woman. She works willingly with her hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. A vessel of honor today, she is busy. She's not a streetwalker. Okay.
That's right.
She's.
I heard that a long time.
I used to have to be at work in the area that I had to. My rest center was at the daycare I worked at was at a dead end street. It was dark, and I had to walk down Ricestown Road. And I say, oh, there's some other women that's out here this early too in the morning. I didn't know they streetwalkers.
I later found out
what they were. Oh my!
They were working.
But I was going to work and draw a paycheck.
Yes.
They weren't going to draw a paycheck. They were going to do some other work. But a vessel of honor works willingly with her hands. She's out there. She's being busy. She's taking care of the cares of her household to make sure that the household is taken care of, making sure her husband taken care of, making sure the house is warm. And things are being our house is looked after.
Amen.
Proverbs 31 says, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in times to come. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. And for the woman that's married, her husband is known in the gate when he sitteth among the elders.
That's right.
Also, Psalms 84:11, talking about integrity and truth. She is a woman of integrity and truth.
Yes, yes.
Psalms 84:11. Hallelujah. Psalms 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. A vessel of honor is a woman that walk uprightly.
That's right.
About integrity.
Amen, amen.
When she's by herself, she's still doing what is right.
That's right.
When her eyes are on, when people's eyes are on her, she's still doing what is right.
Mm-hmm.
No one is around to see what she is, what she's up to. She's still up to God. She's still up to God. Hallelujah. She doesn't have to have someone standing over her to make sure she ain't screwing up. She isn't saying something, the wrong thing out of her mouth, or she isn't winking at somebody that means she's, you know, she is a woman of integrity. I remember once I asked a group of children, what was the meaning of integrity?
Mm.
You know, they had never heard the word. I had the word for them, and I'd already forbid them to have their cell phones off. I said, this is one time I'm asking you to take out your cell phones. I'm going to spell the word, and I want you to look it up and tell me what it says.
All right.
And I said, it's doing the right thing when no one is around to see you.
Yes.
That's what it says. And a woman, a vessel of honor today, is going to do the right thing.
That's right. That's right.
Not just
in, Lord.
When everybody, because see, when we're in church, we have our Sunday suit on. We have our best on in church.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So what, somebody can still step on your toes in church. Somebody can still shout and dance in the spirit, still step on your toes. Oh, what's going to come out your mouth then?
Yes.
What's going to come out? Somebody shut up in someone in their bones so much that their hand fly around and hit you, almost knock your wig off. Are you going to say stop? And then you get in the flesh and act like you shouting and you going to get her back?
Oh my goodness.
No. Of honor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And she doesn't have loose morals.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. You know what? That word, you don't even hear people even mention that word today. Morals.
They really don't.
Morals. That sounds like a candy bar. Doesn't it sound like a name of a show? That's a morals. What's that? I don't know what morals is. Is that somebody's name?
Oh,
morals?
Yes.
First Corinthians 15:33. Hallelujah. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners.
Mm-hmm.
I always use this scripture when it comes to the young people. Hallelujah. To watch who you hang around with. But you know what? Or watch the crowds you hang with. But you know what? That goes for the adults too.
That's right.
Hallelujah. We have to watch who we keep company with. We have to watch the language. Even my children have said sometimes they've had to draw up from friends or, like, draw back, take a seat back because the conversation or the spirit that's around them it's just not right. And you can feel it sometimes when you get around somebody and you – you just get an uncomfortableness and just just feel like something crawling all over you. And just, it's something in your spirit. You just know something isn't right with this person.
Right, that's right.
You know, and say, okay, God, I don't know what it is, but it's the second time I felt this spirit around this person. And I'm giving, and you know, because when you love somebody and that person, you know, always been your ace, boom, cool. You don't want to just all of a sudden diss them, you know, but when. Then keep getting in under your skin or in your craw or really down in your spirit, and the full picture haven't come out yet. Yeah, sometimes you have to say,
yeah, true friend. That's right.
Sometimes, and you know, yes, and sometimes, and when, and if you don't have it in your own self to say, you know, to draw up from the person, sometimes you have to ask the Lord, God, mm-hmm. I don't know what it is.
Yes, yes.
It's not your will for me to be in this person's presence.
All right, now.
Bring a separation. And, a draw, and you know what, saints of God, when you, the closer you draw to God,
mm-hmm.
and the, Jesus on your lips,
mm.
Jesus, that's not right, they're going to drop you.
Yes, that's true. So true.
They're going to drop you. Because every time they go to talk about their junk and garbage, and you come out with a scripture, and you come out with something from the Word of God, this person is going to get tired, and they're going to, you know
most
what?
Definitely, most definitely.
I'm so sick and tired of the holy, holy, and you know, and they end up drawing up from you. But I really want, and I, and the one thing that's great about our women's fellowship, ladies, is a lot of times when people listen, they get more than one viewpoint,
mm-hmm.
and it's good to hear more than one
that's
viewpoint
right.
of scripture. It's good to hear more than one way that God is looking
uh-huh.
at you know, and that's what's so great because everybody don't have
that's
to have one viewpoint.
That's
God.
Right.
One sister, one thing may show another, another thing may show another thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's all scripture based.
That's
and it's
right.
All,
amen.
And all, and I really want a lot of the women in church today. It's so much y'all that's going on in church and people calling it holy, holy.
Hmm.
But it still need to know what does a woman of God, what does a vessel of honor look like today?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Down is her dress still above her knee? Is her dress so short that she has to wear a lap cloth so that something is showing or something
mm-hmm.
or the
too much?
Yes, you know, is it still necessary mm-hmm. to wear our dresses down to our ankles? The things of old, are they still
okay? Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
More knowledge of the Word of God than what we had years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say, oh, we don't take all of that.
Mm.
It don't take all of that. You know what? Sometimes it takes that and some more, too.
Some more. That's right. So true.
That even more evil. Even worse. Hallelujah. The distractions of today are worse than the distractions.
Yes, they are.
When we were little, when we were younger, our children have distractions today that we
mm-hmm.
didn't have when we were coming up.
Not at all.
Yeah.
So
not
therefore,
all.
Of God, we have to even harp on them even more so. And we have to let our children know, you know, baby, when I was coming up, I did things a certain way. And I understand your generation looks at things this way. But this is how God looks at it.
All
and
right.
we have to give it to them the way God sees. And
you
so they're
can you change it?
Word of God is not going to change. They're going to always, and it's good to get the Word of God, because it's going to always be there.
Mm-hmm.
They look into the Bible 5, 10, 15, 20 years and say, this is a scripture I was told. And, and it's still good.
Changed.
Still works today.
Mm-hmm.
It still stands today.
Works
so
today.
Therefore, giving them our opinion of 20 cents or our opinion of 50 cents won't buy them a cup of coffee.
Amen. Amen.
Our opinion will change, but the Word of God won't. And that's
Amen.
What we have to give them, and that's what they need.
Hand on it. Yes.
Take it away, y'all.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Bobby, you want to go first or what?
Whatever. It doesn't matter. I'll go. As I was meditating on the message for tonight about the virtuous woman in Proverbs, the 31st chapter. And the question that Dr. Willie, the question she asked was, what does she look like?
Mm-hmm.
What does that woman look like? Okay.
Yes.
And I thought about, okay, how we're living in the day where people are falling from the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They are claiming to be God's child, but yet they want to be of the world.
Yes.
And it was a message that I had taught to teenagers a long time ago. And the message I asked them is, who are you identifying with?
Oh, amen, amen.
Are you going to identify with your father, God, that you said that you have given your heart to God and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Or are you going to identify with the world, and the world is Satan?
Mm-hmm.
So I asked them a question, who are you identifying yourself with? Because Dr. Bird mentioned about the clothes, she mentioned, excuse me, that we're wearing now, and some of them is, excuse me, wait a minute.
Jesus.
Well, some of the clothes that they are wearing now is showing their bodies in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And when we grew up, we didn't show our bodies in the church.
Indeed not.
And if we did, then the mothers of Zion would come and put a robe around us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy don't want this across, but it's going to get across.
Jesus.
Because God said in his word that women, when you marry your husband, but even if you don't have a husband, you are married to Christ, you should be a virtuous woman.
Amen.
Okay. And in the scripture, I was looking in the scriptures, and I'm going to ask everybody, can everybody hear me? Because my phone is...
Yeah, it's going in and out. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Yes, Jesus.
And I was looking in the scriptures, and in Proverbs 31, the 10th verse says, who can find a virtuous woman?
Yes.
Okay, God asks the question, who can find a virtuous woman? Look around, see, you know, who's virtuous. For her price is far above rubies.
Amen.
And I thought about rubies. You know, rubies, they shine and they're pretty and they, you know, they're glamorous. And that husband should see the beautiness in his wife.
Yes.
And then if you're not a wife, then the people in the church should see you as a beautiful woman, as a bride preparing herself for her husband, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, ruby is pretty, but also pearls are pretty. And if you have a pure pearl, that pearl will shine. into what I used to, that me and my husband used to tell our children. When you wake up in the morning, say you're going to shine for Jesus.
Yes, yes, yes.
You're gonna let your pearls and your rubies shine. You're going to let the Christ in you, the hope of glory, shine. A virtuous woman should always be in a position that she wants her family to see Christ in her, and
yes.
she wants to shine.
Amen.
You know, and she, and in this, she takes care of her children.
Mm-hmm.
She takes care of her husband.
Mm-hmm.
She gets up in the morning, and she if the children are in school, she gets the children together for school.
Mm-hmm.
If the husband's going to work, and he likes his wife to fix breakfast, then she fixes breakfast for him.
Mm-hmm.
Some husbands don't, you know, they don't like all that breakfast with the, you know, sitting down at the table, but they like coffee
mm-hmm.
or tea.
Yeah.
So what she does is a virtuous woman will see what her husband likes,
mm-hmm.
and she will provide that for him.
That's right.
She works hard. She, when her husband and children are gone to school and gone to work, when they come back home, she's done worked hard in the house. The house is nice and clean. The dishes is off the table. The beds are made. Everything is placed in place. Praise God.
Right.
Hallelujah. She's not just looking at TV or on the phone gossiping, like Sister Bird has said. She has made provision that when her family come home, that everything is intact in that house.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
maybe she needs to go out and work because
mm-hmm.
it needs to be two income in the house, praise
mm-hmm.
God. You know, a virtuous woman still will make sure everything is right on time. Everything is working well, praise
mm-hmm.
God. That dinner is at a certain time. That child, homework is done at a certain time. She puts things on schedule, and she runs that house.
Yes.
Praise God.
Amen.
She tools faithfully in, praise God, meeting the needs of her family.
Mm-hmm.
She's not over across the street helping, and don't get me wrong, because you can help other families,
mm-hmm.
but across the street helping another family, and her family is going at luck.
That's right.
That's not a virtuous woman. Amen.
Amen.
She also doesn't forget to help needy people. People that's homeless, out on the street. But in her schedule, she has fixed it that her husband and her children's needs are met also. Okay. A virtuous woman also takes the time to look after her own health. Women, we have a lot of times, and this is what we'll do. We'll work, and we'll forget about ourselves.
Yeah.
I was talking to a nurse last week, and one of the things she said, now, Miss Lee, and I said to her, I said, yes, She said, don't forget about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What she was telling me is, okay, it's okay to take care of your husband. It's okay to take care of your children. But you have to take care of yourself, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
And right. God wants us, hallelujah. He said, I wish above all things that you be, hallelujah, in good health.
That's
praise
right.
God. I can testify as a young woman in the Lord, I worked night and day. I worked. And you know what the doctors told me? Say, now all that you've done, it was a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But now it has hurt you, your body,
mm-hmm.
and you got to build your body up.
Uh-huh.
Amen? And God is looking, amen. He, when we say that we are Christians, we have to follow the rules. And I'm learning. I done got age on me, but God is beginning to show me what I was blinded to.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to follow the rules that is established in the Word of God.
Amen.
The first rule is that we are, and I've got to go because that time, this time goes so fast, I'm sorry. The Word of God tells us that we are to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might. And we have to love our neighbors even as we love ourselves. Okay?
Amen.
If you're going to be a Christian, then you don't want to be a hoochie mama.
Yeah.
That's what they used to call them when I was
in a while. Yeah. Hoochie mama.
Okay, a hoochie mama. If you're going to be a Christian, then you want to obey the laws of the Christian world instead of the laws of the world. You don't mm-hmm. want to listen at this hip hop music that's cursing and lying and stealing.
Mm-hmm.
You're
yes.
virtuous.
You only have 10 more minutes.
What you say?
I said we only have 5 more minutes.
Oh, okay. I'm going to get off of here. But virtuous to me means to be pure, to be clean.
Amen.
And I'm not saying that you're going to be perfect
mm-hmm.
because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us are going to slip and stumble. But
mm-hmm.
when we do slip, the Lord said he will raise us back up.
Yes, he did. Yes, he
and
did.
And so what I see, amen, in a virtuous woman, praise God, is a woman that is living the life of Psalms 1. And if you're living the life of Psalms 1, and you're doing what Psalms 1 tells you, praise God, then you're going to be pleasing to God.
Thank
and,
you.
And when you please God, then you'll please your family and you'll please the church.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you so much. Hop on in there, TV.
All right. You said, what does a virtuous woman look like today? First of all, she's balanced.
Praise God.
Okay. She is balanced. And you start with her head. She has a mindset. 2 Peter 1 and 3 says that we all need for God what we already, what we have from God, he has already given it to us.
Uh-huh.
So we do nothing. We're complete in him.
Amen.
And Philippians 4 and 8 says, what is true, whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. This is the mindset of a virtuous woman and what she looks like today. Her mind is on straight because the mind and the head rules the body. You must be surrendering your mind over to God, finding his wisdom, which is building up your firm foundation through faith, which is your defense against disobedience. Isaiah 1 and 18 says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord, about the truthfulness of the Bible, which means use your mind to get to know God, your Father. Proverbs 31 and 26 says, about your mouth. She opens her mouth with wisdom, speaking her tongue, the law of kindness. This is all part of her head, okay? Then we go down to the other parts of her body, which is her heart. Matthew 22, 37 says, love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, soul, and mind. And Psalms 37, 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. And Proverbs 4, 33 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. So again, we're looking at a female that has made a decision that she has boundaries on her life, her thinking, everything that she does, and she bases it all on the word of God. Psalms 51 and 10 says, create in me a clean heart. God, renew a right spirit within me. This is what she's carrying on the inside on purpose. Mm. And now, how does she carry herself as a woman? What is she looking like? Galatians 6 and 1 says, carry each other's burdens in the way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Mm-hmm. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Amen. I mean, we're supposed to help each other,
yes,
by loving someone, helping them out, not judging them, but loving them. Be humble, be kind, be caring to your sisters and brothers. This is the way you carry yourself, and it's contagious. And then about your physical body, as Mother said, be physically fit. 1 Corinthians 3 and 16 and 17 says, our bodies are holy. He wants us to take care of our bodies. So we will be happy people and better. We are healthy when we're happy. And then the temple of God can be used by God at a longer period of time.
Amen.
Then let's look at our hands. All right, our hands do a lot. They're a sense of touch. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity. That means deceitfulness. Now, hands can carry, push, pull, scoop, carry, wave, point, and make many gestures or signs. So, Psalms 90, 16 through 17 says, let the favor of the Lord be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. And Mark 6 and 5 says, Jesus heals the sick and blesses the little children by laying on hands. Hands are very important, what you do with them, okay? Let me go down to how she dressed. Proverbs 31 specifically tells us that she used to wear fine apparel. She did wear fine apparel, but was still considered to be a praiseworthy woman. Praiseworthy. All right? That means she's adorned with humility. She's adorned with pureness. Pureness of heart. She wears it as a garment, a personal style that's her own, that the Lord has given her. She's wearing love. She's wearing humility. She's wearing helpfulness.
Yes.
And she displays it in a pleasant countenance. Okay? In your heart, you know what isn't modest. Women know what is and is not right. They have that little bell ringing in the back of their heads, a little mama's voice, whatever, may be there. You know what should be worn and what shouldn't. Words on shirts that are not appropriate, flashy jewelry, things that are too low cut, or just cause the wrong type of attention. We know what to do. But when your heart is pure before God and you have a mindset before the Lord, he pulls all of that in line because he is who you're trying to please. He's Daddy God. Let me go down to our feet. Psalms 121 and 3 says, he will not let your feet, faithfulness and firm foundation of a believer. That's how God will steady your feet. Having our feet fitted with the shoes of the gospel of peace allows us to be ready to share God with others at all times. we have to be ready 24/7. So we have to be dressed in the apparel that God gives us, which is holiness. In John 13 and 12 through 17 says, "You, Lord and teacher, has washed your feet. You, in turn, should wash each other's feet." That shows humbleness. It shows humility again. And your feet are very important, where they go, where they do not go. Follow Christ. That's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Walking with the Lord. How do you walk with the Lord? A woman of today, the Proverbs 31st woman, she has daily prayer.
Thank you, Jesus.
She places a spiritual boundaries around her life. She meditates and reads the scriptures. Remember, your request before God. You are representing God at all times. This is who we are today.
Yes.
That's what she looks like from head to toe.
Thank you, Jesus. That was awesome. Hallelujah. Y'all so awesome women. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you so much, y'all, for
praise the Lord.
That's a mirror of what a virtuous woman looks like today.
Amen.
And we just... that we ourselves reflect that to God. We don't want to let God down. We don't want to do anything that would displease him. And we don't want to do anything that would cause him to look at us and say, who is she? Is she one of mine? We want everybody to be able to look at us and say, and that's a woman of God right there. By our conversation, by our dress, by our everything. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you. And with the help of the Lord, we will. Hallelujah. And we know things don't change that much. Hallelujah. As long as we stay in the word of God, God is going to lead us. God is direct us. And he will bless us from head to toe.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you all for joining us. All of you women out there, hallelujah. God bless you. And we'll see you next month. Hallelujah. The second Friday of the month. But in the meantime, hallelujah, we have early morning prayer, praise and worship, 7 o'clock in the morning. And that number is 720-527-5252. Hallelujah. Join us in the morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless each and every one of you. Keep on being women of God, women and vessels of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of God. Hallelujah.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.